And we are back from our Thanksgiving hiatus. Took a lot to get here because I was deceived by your husband, who's actually a live studio audience member right now, but we're going to get to that. What I found out on Thursday was you're trilingual. And real quick, that doesn't mean that she knows three languages. That just means she tried to be bilingual at the most inopportune time.
Truly.
Karaoke.
Yeah.
In front of all of your Thanksgiving guests.
Welcome to the L. Duncan Show with Gary Streisky. I think it was the most opportune moment because it's low stakes. It's not, listen, I take karaoke seriously, quite seriously. I've got a long list of things that I go to, a repertoire. There's nothing like facing a crowd of drunk, what typically ends up being college students, and the pressure that comes with picking the right song.
Yeah.
So I workshop songs at home on my personal karaoke machine, also known as my husband's DJ setup. And I decided to workshop a song in front of my friends and family. There was a handful of you in the comforts of my own home. And it didn't go as planned, but it informed me that if I had ever thought, you know what? Now's the right time to perform Pepas, a song that you know one or two lines of in general, but the whole thing is in Spanish. And what I remembered as I was in real time trying to sing Pepas in Spanish was that typically when I'm hearing Pepas, I have had a couple of drinks.
Yep.
I'm mostly tuning out the music until we get to the part everybody knows. Pepas, but there's whole verses, Gary.
Whole 4 minutes of the song left. There's 4 minutes of that song that was just undiscovered until you were on a hot mic.
There is nothing like finding out in real time that you are completely underqualified for something. And that happened to me. Like my eyes got as big as saucers. And I was like, I legitimately forgot that there was whole verses in Spanish that I don't know.
An entire song.
Listen. It is what it is. And
we were listening.
I was going to get away with it until you told the world that I attempted it. You know, speaking of singing, there's a whole fan base right now singing, I'm a loser, baby. So why don't you, kill me is a lot, but why don't you potentially fire your head coach?
Oh gosh.
Body piercing.
Mm-hmm.
Ohio State loses for the third straight time to Michigan, whose Harbaugh is. They don't even have a coach.
Yeah.
They have Sharon Moore. We don't even really know specifically which one it is.
I just be calling him Coach. Coach Moore.
That brother getting it done. That's what I call him.
Getting it done.
You lose, and now everyone wants to know, should Ryan Day, what's his record again as the head coach at Ohio State?
A lot of wins and just a couple losses.
I think he's like 56-7 or something like that. Seven losses, but three of those are now to Michigan.
Yes.
And people have some thoughts. Paul Feinbaum, who always has thoughts, had this to say on the Matt Berry podcast about whether Ryan Day should lose his job or not.
Is his job in jeopardy? No, it's not in jeopardy. Is he on the hot seat? No, he's not on the hot seat, but it's not that simple. And you know that, Matt. You don't follow a guy that goes 7-0 against Michigan and go 1-3. And yesterday was the worst loss because not only was Ryan Day lose, he was out-coached.
Your thoughts?
Here's the thing. Ohio State fans, while some of the most passionate fans, of course, across all sports, whether collegiately or professionally, this is so short-sighted. This man has lost seven games in five entire years. And here's the thing about firing a coach. Okay, I get it. You bring a coach in to win a game. National championship is the second peg in this hierarchy of games that you have to win as the Ohio State head coach. Number one, unequivocally, is the game. He hasn't had great success. I think this whole gray cloud of spying from Michigan that happened just 3 years ago when Michigan finally started, not just Michigan, when Harbaugh finally started beating Ohio State, this gray cloud of sign stealing and spying. This is a perfect deflection point. And I think it's something that people can reference as being sort of this fork in the road moment where Ryan Day, because he has beat them.
What?
Ryan Day can say, all the odds are already stacked against me as the Ohio State head coach. And now even more so. Moreover, who are you going to go get if you fire Ryan? Frank Reich's available.
Okay,
but who are you going to go get?
Let me unpack what you just said, because I could not disagree with you more. We discussed this on the podcast. Would the dark cloud of mystery hanging over Michigan, that asterisk, would it disappear if they could beat Ohio State without their coach? It's clear that if there was any sign stealing, and there was sign stealing, so it's not even an if anymore, right? But it's pretty clear there's no sign stealing happening now, because as soon as there was a red flag thrown that Michigan was stealing signs, everybody changed up their signs. Mm-hmm. So safe to assume we're on a level, even playing field, and you don't even beat a Michigan team with their head coach. So all things being equal, they don't know your signs. They are just a better team, and they beat you without a head coach, because coaching is still important, and it is particularly important in college. And so I think it makes it worse. If you lose to the Michigan-led Jim Harbaugh, you know, the Jim Harbaugh-led Michigan team, who is a better team, and on paper is one of the top two teams in the country, despite what, you know, the playoff implications looked like before that game. You lose without him? You lose to a first-time head coach that, as Paul Feinbaum respectfully but not so respectfully said, nobody even knew his name apart from Big Ten circles?
What's up, Coach Moore?
That's bad, Gary. That's not good.
Michigan, I will say, had a running head start over the last 2 years of compiling information. Yeah, they're a better team this year, but I don't think that we can just ignore the fact that they had and were privy to a ton of information. And yeah, okay, you're going to change your signs going into this game, but I don't think that there's much delineation once you know sort of the core things of a team, especially this team. Michigan and Ohio State recruit for one reason and one reason only, to beat the other team at the end of November. So I think this whole sign stealing thing that started 3 years ago gave Michigan an ample head start. I'm not a Ryan Day apologist, because he's taken Ohio State into the CFP, into the Final Four, and he's not gotten them the national championship either. I'm just saying, on the flip side of that, the grass ain't always greener.
Sure.
And who's a better alternative? Who can Ohio State legitimately go get if they're like, you know what, Ryan Day's just not the guy to go win us the game? Who's better?
Sure. I mean, you do have to ask yourself that, right? Like, if you just want to be rid of this guy because he can't win the game, and it's a big game. It is, in many circles, more important than the national championship. It is the same game that almost had Jim Harbaugh on the hot seat time and time and time and time again.
Until
before
what?
He could beat them.
He was like, yo, I need an advantage.
Yeah.
I need an advantage.
Bring me a stallion.
Yeah. Oh, facts.
Hey. You know what? Maybe Michigan's 180 marvels another 180 that we saw for Ohio State, and that was Maurice Claret, who before the game.
Oh, damn.
This is Ohio State great Maurice Claret.
Yep.
Before the game, he's like, this is my team. I ride for my city. Let's go.
Mm-hmm.
Woo-woo. And then immediately.
What'd he do?
Immediately takes to Twitter after they lose. And he's like, Ryan Day.
Oh, damn.
Love you, bro, but gotta go. This is why you're paid millions. Can't get paid 9 M's and lose 3 straight. Then he kept going and he kept going and kept going. And eventually he backtracked a little bit and he was like, yo, I'm just a troll, guys. LOL. Hee hee.
Okay, so this I think is the big issue, because it's one thing if the school and the fans, but if you start getting former players and then, of course, the donors, that's who ultimately decides if Ryan Day's going to stay.
Players are emotional.
But if you start getting the greats being vocal on social media, it's a losing battle. Ryan Day is going to have to be like, you know what? I'm gone.
My thing is not who is a better fit for this job. It's who wants this
who
job.
Who wants
it's
it?
So
ew.
Thankless,
yucky.
Dude. It's a thankless job. Honestly, the Ohio State and Michigan head coaching jobs are amongst the top maybe 10 of thankless jobs in all of sports. Like, I think we can we agree that the number one most thankless job in sports is anyone that coaches LeBron James?
Oh, gosh.
Like, if you coach LeBron, it's completely thankless. Because if you do anything to contribute towards the championship, they're just going to overlook you anyway.
Yeah.
And if you do anything that doesn't lead to the championship, then you're going to get scapegoated. So that one seems like a tough one.
The Cowboys automatically jumped into my head. But yes, it's the
You think
Lakers.
The Cowboys is a thankless job? Because, I mean, this is a team that hasn't won since the mid-90s. So
remember when David Black got fired?
Yeah.
Was it the Cavs? He was there for like a day?
Yeah.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah, that's certainly pretty.
There's
famous.
Been a whole slew of bodies in
yeah,
LeBron's
that's
wake.
True. Yeah, there's a whole bunch of collateral damage. LeBron's like, it wasn't me.
Is LeBron? Is the blonde? Is he the sports Shaggy?
It wasn't me.
Come damn, busting on my coaches.
What a throwback!
Yeah.
It wasn't me.
That was my dad's favorite song.
It's a good song
for like a solid 6 month run.
Damn.
I don't think he thought about like
what
like
it meant.
Just the weirdness of like his like 19-year-old daughter being in the car while he's like, got me banging on the shower. It was like,
it wasn't me.
Yeah, it wasn't.
Coming on the sofa. It wasn't me. Even had her in the shower. Your dad was singing that
she
in the car.
He even caught in on camera. Yeah, he just like, unapologetically. And it was like, it wasn't for me. But
caught it on camera and it still wasn't you. Come on. That's bad.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
We caught a whole slew of games, NFL Week 12.
Good little slate.
Had a nice slate starting with the Turkey Day slate. Should we do Too Long Didn't Watch?
I'm into it.
It's time for Too Long Didn't Watch, where we just take some of the best recaps of the week and, well, punchline them. And Gary, I just want to start by saying Jacksonville won again. I know you've been a huge proponent for this, but I'm going to jag it for you this week.
Oh.
I am officially jagging on.
Boom! Because November is almost over and Jacksonville did win again, they beat the Texans, currently 3-seed in the AFC, so there was actually no need for me to even jag off today.
Is it creepier that my husband just steps away? Despite Desmond Ridder throwing 2 interceptions, the Falcons beat the Saints, who could only muster 5 field goals. And the 5-6 Atlanta Falcons now lead the NFC South. And oh my God, Tom Brady was right. Oh my God, we're watching a lot of mid.
Yeah,
a lot of mid.
It's bad.
Whew.
It's bad. And here's the thing. I'm glad that you're finally agreeing with our Lord and Savior, Thomas Edward Patrick Brady.
Good.
He's been right ever since he's become a talking head. And it sounds like we're lining up with the same games. Because Ludacris rappelled from the Raptors at halftime to perform as those birds beat the Saints 24-15. I hope he finally saw, though, how impossible it would be to get it at the Georgia Dome at the 50-yard line while the Dirty Birds kick it for tree.
All right.
There's a lot of people around.
Okay.
I got a question
for
the Atlantans in the room. What does kick it for tree, T-R-E-E, mean? Because I thought it was always while the Dirty Birds kick and retreat.
Yeah, like three. It's like tree. It's
kick
like
it,
a.
Well, the Dirty Birds kick like for tree.
Yeah, it's like a slang way. Why the Dirty Birds kick for tree? Like they're kicking for three. They're kicking a field goal, Gary.
Why you just say kick it for three?
Because they're brilliant and they're wordsmiths and poets. This whole time he thought he was saying, while the Dirty Birds kick and retreat. Is that what you think about Atlanta?
Well, that makes more sense than kick it for tree.
It actually does make a lot of sense.
Damn,
when you
kick
think
it
about
for
Atlanta.
Tree. That doesn't shorten the word at all. And it's more confusing. Well, this was a bit of an ADD detour, but the Georgia Dome at the 50-yard line, impossible, Luda.
the Patriots versus Giants wasn't a David versus Goliath matchup, more like a pillow fight between two twin scrubs and a guy who ironically doesn't even wash his own pillowcases.
That's our guy, Tommy DeVito.
This guy,
Tommy DeVito, living the life. He can only focus on football. And, I'll just go ahead and pile on to that. If DeVito keeps winning, he's going to get what every Italian-born kid in Jersey dreams of getting one day. Not a championship for the hometown team. Not a big house because he already lives at home. Something even better.
What?
He'll be joining the likes of Bon Jovi, Sinatra, Gandolfini, in getting his own Garden State Parkway gas station named after him. There's only 9 of them, and he's on his way. Have you ever driven the Garden State Parkway?
Yes.
The rest stops are awesome.
Yeah, their names are cool.
It's cool. Yeah. But Springsteen doesn't have one. It's just super weird.
How deep of a dive did you go on to do the research behind this joke? Because I'm actually really impressed at how thorough the joke is.
No research.
It wasn't funny, but it was thorough.
Well, I mean, sometimes the best jokes are sort of just like
ones explainers. You have to explain.
Yeah. Every time I drive through Jersey to get to the Mrs. Parents' house on the south shore of Jersey, always stop at the Bon Jovi rest station.
Oh.
It's awesome. Don't have to pump your own gas.
That's cool.
Yeah.
If this was the Apollo and you were doing stand-up, this would be the time where the Sandman would come out and then the crowd would boo you off the stage.
Damn.
And finally, the Broncos beat the Browns again. It is so reliable, you guys. The Browns are to the Broncos what Forrest Gump was to Jenny. No matter how bad it gets for you, at the very least, you know you can still f*** him.
Oh, gosh. I forgot that we blur words out. Gosh, damn. And that one punched extra hard because I just got done watching Forrest Gump again.
She didn't deserve him.
I'm glad, though, that she didn't sell the Medal of Honor. I forgot about that.
Yeah.
And then she left it on his table when she left. And at least that's her one redeeming quality.
Yeah.
Is that she was getting the... She was going skiing for free.
Yeah.
Let's just say that.
Forrest needed some friends
to
say to him, run, Forrest,
run. Yeah,
run
away from this crazy woman.
She's nuts.
For the second time this season, the Broncos have been in a score-a-gami game. A final score that's never happened.
Yeah.
They lost 70-20. Okay.
Let's not talk about that one.
This time they won 29-12.
Sure did.
That makes it 5 straight wins. They're a playoff team, which makes fans in Denver do something you can also do with the letters in Scoregami. Don't think too hard about it, though. Still a kids program.
Oh my God. What? Are we thinking of the same word?
I hope so. I think so. I mean, there ain't many words in reference to... Hey, what's next in the rundown?
No, I want you to say it. What word were you thinking of? Say it, Gary.
I was thinking of...
No, say it. You wouldn't say horny last week. Say it, Gary.
I'm not going to say that word either. This word's even worse.
You used it as a punchline, but you won't say it?
Sometimes the best joke is the one that people have to think of, and then when they're driving home, they're like, oh!
We don't like people to think on this show. The word is orgasm.
Oh, damn it.
By the way, let's talk about the Broncos for a second. Because
they're good. They're a playoff team.
You haters... I'm sitting right next to one who want to keep glossing over the contributions of the Broncos by being like, nobody was talking about the Broncos. Let's move on. Well, now they're a team to be reckoned with, sir.
Yep.
And no, I'm not exactly ready to let Russ cook, but I'm ready to let him microwave again.
He's cooking at the opportune times.
He's warming up Totina's pizza rolls. However, it's a far departure from where he was, which is easy bake oven, right?
Yes.
Like essentially just letting a sundial cook your food.
Yep.
He's now moving up. Before you know it, this guy might be able to man an air fryer. And then...
You are hating on
him. Maybe then we'll allow him near an open flame again. No, here's the thing, Gary. He is being opportunistic, which is great. He's protecting the ball, which is what you're asking for. But this idea that, like, let Russ cook, you guys, he's, like, averaging 3 yards per throw. It's not exactly like he's lighting them up. It's not necessary, and that's been great. The defense has, like, 15 takeaways.
Yeah, they're sick.
They're
sick.
nuts right now.
16-4 games.
Four straight games with at least three takeaways, longest streak since the year 2000. I mean, they're doing things that the 2015 Broncos did en route to winning a Super Bowl, although that defense was still better. And so, you know, I'm into it.
It's interesting that this defense has all of a sudden come on as of late, and they've just become turnover monsters in the last handful of games, and it's the same defense. And albeit it's an outlier when you play a Dolphins team that has the best offense in the NFL, but they gave up 70 to them. And of course, you have to cut bait with some of your older guys, revamp your defense. My question about this Broncos team and the way they're winning is this sustainable? You're not going to force three turnovers a game every game for the next six games. What's more sustainable is Russell Wilson protecting the ball, best interception, best touchdown to interception ratio in the league. And he's not having those, you know, why isn't he in the MVP discussion games that he had so often in Seattle when he's throwing for four touchdowns and 400 yards. It's more like a two touchdown performance with low 200 yards. So what that seems to be more sustainable than this defense just being the best defense in the league right now.
It's the combination of both, Gary. I mean, I literally just mentioned 2015. Maybe you'd say it wasn't sustainable if there wasn't quite literally a blueprint for the Broncos having already done this. I am by no means saying that this is a Super Bowl team when we knew that 2015 team could potentially be a Super Bowl team. That team was historic for a sustained period of time. This team's been historic for the last six, 7 weeks, right? But that is absolutely the formula, is yes, lean on your defense.
He went for 134 against the Browns.
Lean on your defense, who has somehow figured this thing out, and then just hope that Russ, that the defense can keep it close and that Russ can be opportunistic. Because that team that won with Peyton Manning as a shell of himself and also had Brock Osweiler have to start, that team was winning because of the same thing. They had the top scoring defense, and their defense was not only getting takeaways, they were scoring themselves. So if your defense can give you 7 points a game, if your special teams can pull a trick out of their hat, you can absolutely make a little bit of noise. So the idea that 3 weeks removed from being like, I'm not going to mention this team anymore because they are crushing my heart, that we could even be mentioning them as a playoff team, I think is a win on the season. Like, no matter what happens from here on out, this was exactly the kind of season that Sean Payton hoped to have when he came back and when they paid him all that money.
It didn't hurt Peyton Manning that he had weapons. I mean, he had three top 10 guys, Black and Decker, Brandon Stokely. Yeah. I don't think Russell Wilson has that.
He doesn't have Courtland Sutton.
Even close to that, Jerry Jeudy has fallen off, and that kind of stinks. He fell off. But yeah, I'm looking at the stats right now. Russell Wilson threw for 134 yards, and you weren't too far off going for 3 yards every throw. 6.9 is his average.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
And they're still winning. Yeah.
Correct, because he's just not asked to do a ton, and then they'll get an explosive play here and
there. He gets to improvise a handful of times as opposed to improvising the whole game, which catches defenses off guard. And this stretch of wins is so impressive, and you take a look at their remaining schedule. This is like a 10-win team. I'm tripping, and you know I hate the Broncos. So the last thing I want to do is give them praise.
Yeah.
Beat KC, beat Buffalo in Buffalo, beat Minnesota, ended Minnesota's 5-game win streak. Cleveland, top of their division. Now they're traveling to Houston. They travel to LA. They travel to Detroit. So they go off three vicious trips. They'll beat New England. They'll beat the Bolts again, and they finish their season in Vegas. There's definitely four wins in there. That's definitely a playoff team. Wow.
You say you hate the Broncos. Yeah. I know that. I, in the same way, hate your Patriots, and I'm not going to gloss over.
You keep saying my Patriots.
Your Patriots.
You know I defected when Tom Brady retired.
That's fine. You're still going to have to hold that L.
That
sucks. If you're going to rep the brand when they're winning, you're going to rep the brand when they're losing, and I'm just going to keep pouring more salt all over your grave. I don't think that's exactly the expression, but that's what it feels like. Because this is every week. The headlines in Boston are, this is the new bottom. I'm like, at this point, guys, you're reaching the core of the earth. We're almost at the mantle.
Oh!
Like, yeah, I still remember my science,
friends.
That's
right.
You know?
The mantle. And then, what's underneath the mantle? I don't know either.
That's for my husband to know and not you, Gary.
Whoa!
Hey!
Whoa!
He's not even paying attention. The details of this game are so disgusting. And I know that the Giants are doing victory laps and they're like, oh, Tommy DeVito, this is great. This is a 10-7 barn burner that ended with a field goal miss from the Patriots. And For so many years, Bill Belichick has been able to get away with this Mr. Eeyore act because his team was winning. And so every now and again, the two or three times a year they would lose, he could sort of... But now Bill Belichick's team is horrible. The PR crisis is upon them. Everyone is actually calling for this man's head. This has got to end. This is bad. He's a bad GM. He's a bad coach. It's all bad. And so I want to do a little cosplaying with you. So I'm going to put you on the spot. I'm going to have you pretend to be Bill Belichick, who has been PR trained to spin this a positive and optimistic way, because things are bleak. But you're fighting for your job now. You're trying to get Patriots fans to keep coming to games. And so I'm going to be at the press conference. You're Bill Belichick at the podium. I'm just going to throw out what could be legitimate reporter questions right now. And I want to see how well you can spin it. You ready?
Yeah.
Coach, the Patriots are 2-9, which is the worst record you guys have had through 11 games since 1993. So what do you think about that?
I'm not here to dwell on the past. 1993, a lot in the game has changed. I can't really focus on what happened 40 years ago. Next week, we got a tough one against whoever we're playing, and just make sure we practice hard and get better and get a win next week. Not worried about the past.
Coach, over here. Coach, you just got beat by a quarterback who can't fold a fitted sheet. Coach, what does it say about your legacy?
The thing about folding a fitted
Use
sheet.
Use your big boy voice, Coach.
The thing about folding a fitted sheet is there's not... I've never met anybody who can fold a fitted sheet, so I think your reference there, I think your reference actually did you less favors than you think. Folding a fitted sheet's pretty tough. Have you ever tried to fold a fitted sheet? Yeah, next question.
Coach, the Patriots had their fourth scoreless half of the season. How do you explain just the ineptitude at offense?
What you're not focusing on is the half that we did score in. That's why we play two halves. One half, you play bad, make adjustments. The other half, you come back, and hopefully you play better. That's a good football team out there. And just want to remind you that we were playing at MetLife, so it's like we were playing against 15 defenders. Nah, that's why you play two halves of football.
We've got time for one more. Coach, Tom Brady just said that the football he's been watching lately is trash. Do you think that you just told on yourself?
Listen, Tom's a great player. Tom's a great player, but I'm not on Snapface. I'm not on FaceX. What Tom says, yeah, he's got a right to his own opinion. But I'm just focused on the 53 guys in that room, and yeah, appreciate the question. He did look good though on that boat. He's looking strong.
And that's when everyone will overlaugh because that's what everyone at press conferences does.
Yeah. All right. Thanks. Thanks. All right, thanks. See you guys back in New England. All right.
Mac Jones has 12 interceptions, the most by a Patriots player through 11 games since Drew Bledsoe, which happened in 1999. And I'm just going to throw this out there, Stryker.
Am I still Bill Belichick?
No.
Oh, okay.
That's why I called you Stryker.
I was getting super depressed.
It feels bad being in his body, huh? Wearing his suit.
But he's like a funny guy. He's a fun guy. He just knows how to turn it on. Yeah, huh? One of his best friends is Charles Barkley. You can't be best friends with him if you don't have...
That's not true.
Yeah, huh?
I have unfunny friends.
What?
Yeah, I have friends that are like cerebral and they're not particularly funny or charming. Like they are to me, but they're not like crowd pleasers. They don't like walk into a... That doesn't mean... You don't have to take on the identity of, oh, are you only friends with people that are just like
No. The question was, I think that if you are close friends with somebody, there are attributes that you share with that person. And I think maybe humor, affability, if that's a word, affableness.
I think affability is more on target.
Some of those characteristics I think you generally share with your friends.
Okay.
I'm not saying you have to be, you know, carbon copy mirror images, but you know, like takes one to know one type situation.
Also, Opposites Attract. That was a whole song with Paula Abdul. Where she
Right. And it was also
Chester
a movie,
Cheetah.
Wasn't it?
Probably.
Yeah.
But here's where I'm getting at with this.
Okay.
The Patriots are at the point where they've got to start doing stunts in order to get people to come and watch the games and have any interest in the games. Because it's not even fun to like laugh at them anymore. They're just like horrible.
Yeah, they suck.
What if they call Drew Bledsoe? Listen, I understand he's 50 years old now, 56? 56
Something
feels
like
old.
That. Yeah. Well.
However, Drew Bledsoe was never able to run. Not ever. He always just stood in the pocket. So you just go like jumbo package every single time. Let Drew Bledsoe get out there and throw. Why not? You're telling me you would not have some level of interest of watching the Patriots play whoever they're playing this weekend if Drew Bledsoe was suiting up? You would. You would care. You'd be interested.
Why'd you skip Tom Brady and go straight to Drew Bledsoe? Because I thought you were going to go with the Drew Bledsoe thing because he's like a very, very successful wine guy now. Just get everybody just obliterated in Foxborough. But then I guess
it's
everybody
because
already is.
It feels like you're wearing drunk goggles when you watch the Patriots right now.
Scott Zolak would be a better option in that regard because he still fires from the hip. He's 60, but he acts like he's 25. He still thinks he's in a locker room.
Yeah,
okay. I think Scott Zolak's the guy.
There are two Patriots quarterbacks that anyone in the whole world knows, and that is Tom Brady and Drew Bledsoe.
Yeah.
So Tom Brady ain't walking in that door, and he ain't coming back. He would still take it too seriously because he was still playing football this calendar year. You got to go full stunt and go get Drew.
Damn.
Let him, Wally Pipp.
Jesus.
These two dudes, let him get his comeback. He gets a chance to Wally Pipp two kids 25 years after getting Wally Pipped himself. It is a story for the ages. Call Disney.
They invite Drew Bledsoe back. He doesn't know, though. Like, he doesn't know, like, the context in which they're inviting him. Hey, Drew, we want to honor you on the field at our next game. And then he gets there. He's like, we're going to honor you by having you suit up for 60 minutes. Why don't you get on out there?
He's like, is this an old-timers game? He's like, sure.
Well, yeah, kind of.
Versus the Ravens.
Yeah, you're the old-timer.
See? Tell me that's not a game you'd watch. You would watch a game of Drew Bledsoe trying to stay alive. You could like, you could do a bunch of like...
This isn't Hunger Games, L. This is the NFL. Yo, what the hell?
That's barely what the Patriots are.
Yeah, that's true.
That's not, I'm not watching the NFL.
They look like doo-doo. 2-9. Yikes. That draft pick's going to be nice, but it... On paper, it will be because Bill Belichick doesn't use his first-round picks.
No.
They're going to have a top three pick next year.
Yeah.
And they're going to trade out for 14 seventh-rounders.
Probably.
From James Madison, no disrespect.
Yeah. He's going to get a third-round kicker again.
Gosh.
But you know the thing that's crazy is in watching that game? Let's be honest.
Everything
I didn't
watch
that game.
Everything that you were
game.
Watching the
yeah,
game.
I didn't watch
I was watching,
that game.
I was watching the game.
Watching the highlights?
The DeVito family, I was like, dude, that... They look like a great time.
They look really fun, but that is the
track
sadness.
Tracksuits sold out.
The sadness, because I feel really bad for Tyrod Taylor. This dude has an opportunity with the Chargers, and then the team doctor punctures his lung before a game, loses his job to Justin Herbert, which was probably inevitable anyway, but still. Then he goes to this team, and he's backing up Daniel Midgrade Jones.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, not Danny Dimes.
Yep.
So the question becomes, do we pull the plug on Tommy DeVito and his great story? Because he hasn't been, he's fine. It's fine. It's fine. I mean, he's had the benefit of playing two of the worst teams in the entire NFL. The Commanders last week, he gets his first win despite the fact he was sacked 9 times. And then this week, but the question now, and Brian Daboll did not give a real answer.
Yep.
Tyrod Taylor's ready to come back after the bye.
Play the hot hand.
You play the hot hand, but is he hot? Is the hand hot?
He's had 5 touchdowns in a handful of games. I mean, I don't think. Listen, the Giants aren't playing for anything. They're a 4-win team, and they've rattled off a couple of wins. And Tommy DeVito didn't throw any interceptions, and he's thrown a handful. I saw a stat, a little nugget, I think on SportsCenter's Instagram, is Tommy DeVito has more touchdown passes than Bryce Young. Through the last handful of games.
Yeah, and Bryce Young just got his coach fired.
Correct. So DeVito's doing better than that. And Brian Daboll ain't getting fired.
At least
they've won
that.
4 times as many games as those Carolina Panthers has the guy who went undrafted and was third string. It's a good story. And the Giants, for who they are, the market they are, they need people to care and they need people to tune in no matter how relevant the product is. We're talking about
it. They need a stunt.
The guy who lives it. They need a stunt.
Yeah.
And he's stunting.
Yeah. Like his daddy.
Boom. Yeah. His daddy was just ripping those ripping those cigars, yeah, dude, and just doing a bunch of this.
Yeah.
Just, I want to buy a horn.
Yeah.
I want to buy the horn.
I know.
You know what I mean?
Do not. It was definitely one of those moments where you're like, you can do it, I can't. Feels like a little bit like appropriation if you're doing that and you're not an Italian man.
Really?
Yeah. I don't think you're supposed to like do that.
Really?
It feels cringy.
Well, I was just showing what.
I'm saying like his dad can do it, right? Like you're watching him, like you're like, good for you, dad, but like I can't do that.
Yeah, you could.
No.
Give it a try.
No, I'm not going to.
Okay.
I mean, I could, but then I don't want to get canceled.
You ain't gonna get canceled. If the Polish guy's not going to get canceled, you know what I'm saying?
You ready?
Showtime. On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes.
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
There is one thing I would love to cancel.
Ooh.
My husband brought to my attention the other day that the NFL has decided that their social media accounts are just going to troll.
Yeah, this is good.
And so there was a collection of some of the best troll jobs from NFL Week 12 on ESPN. And I wonder if we think these are good trolls. So Pittsburgh beats the Bengals. And so they posted a picture of a crushed can of Skyline chili.
Yeah, that one's just predictable, guys. Come on, you're better than that.
Yeah, it's like crushed it.
Yeah, you're better than that.
Then maybe they followed that up. They were like, ooh, I don't know if that was good. And then they just tweeted, Wincinnati.
Yikes. Yeah, yeah.
So we're passing on that. And then Atlanta beats the Saints.
Uh-huh.
And they tweet, as Jeezy Dunn said.
Oh, God, I'm out. I'm out. Dude, I'm out.
I'm already out. They say, who dat? We dat.
See, and this is a clear indication, L, and we're guilty of it, that you now have millennials running these accounts.
Correct.
It's too much wordplay. This is the generation of live, laugh, love.
Yes.
All right. These are TJ Maxx and Home Goods shoppers now in charge of professional football team social media accounts.
Correct.
We're guilty of it too, right here at the Worldwide Leader.
100%. We've highlighted
still like
that,
looking
I think.
At them.
Well, I also think there was a really obvious play here because the win moved Atlanta into first place in the division.
Mm-hmm.
Hello?
Move.
Get out the way.
That's good.
You could have done something with the other teams and like slid up the, like, you know?
That would have been good. And I'm glad that we recognize that at the same time.
Yeah.
Yo, NFL social media accounts, we're available.
Holler.
We're actually not gainfully employed, but like you want to do like a side quest thing, we're available.
For fun.
We got internet access.
We could trade these followers.
Texting Omar all the time. Omar Raja, ESPN, he runs SportsCenter. I'm like, dude, let me do the captions on SportsCenter's pictures. Let me do.
And every then he leaves you on read, doesn't he?
Every time I do a caption, blows up.
Yeah.
Every time I throw a little stupid comment in there, it goes crazy. I'm like, bro, let me cook. I had this really funny one. This is what started it
Tell
all.
Tell me.
So it just happened to be Tim Tebow's birthday a couple of years ago. And I was in the Denver airport and it was just like a happy birthday to Tim Tebow. And it was so stupid. Underneath the comments, I was like, damn, everybody has a birthday this year. It went crazy. I said, damn, everybody be having a birthday this year. Because the joke is that everybody has a birthday this year.
No, you don't have to explain it. Are you explaining it because you think I didn't get it?
I was just really hoping to get a laugh out of one of the five people in the studio. Omar has his head in his hands. He's shaking. No. Damn.
Some of the best troll jobs came surrounding the Lions. The Packers beat them and then trolled them. This was, of course, on Thanksgiving, and they trolled them like, that's what's popping. A Jack Harlow reference, who, yes, Jack Harlow does refer to Detroit in his raps, but the dude's from like Kentucky. So I'm not, like, this is not exactly
Louisville.
Synonymous with Detroit. Nonetheless, the best roasts of the weekend definitely came in roasting that performance at halftime of the game.
He just came out of like an igloo.
Yeah, I definitely like saw some people saying it looked like it was the set of a middle school performance for Frozen.
Yeah, definitely. For sure.
I definitely also saw some people saying that that was the worst ASL translator of all time. Jesus, just the dude that
this guy in the back.
Well, here's the thing. Hype men, totally a thing. We know that. We love hip hop. They usually have a mic. They usually have a mic so that they can, like that's what your hype man does in the background. And they punctuate.
Give it up, give it up.
They punctuate words at the end of sentences. You know,
what's popping? Popping.
Popping.
Yeah.
That, you know what I mean?
Just turn into the Migos.
This dude just had no microphone and was just kind of in the background dancing around a little bit.
He might have been there by mistake.
Yeah. Honestly, he could have been an extra from It's So Cold in the D. That's how pointless he was. Like the ones that just sort of rock and sway in the cemetery.
Oh my God.
And so people went all in on Jack Harlow.
Yeah.
The set, meh. The performance, I like Jack Harlow.
The fan POV was just so sad.
So bad.
It was so sad. It's like what you ordered, what you got on TikTok.
Yeah.
Like it was a made for TV performance and they were just like, 80,000 people in Ford Field, they don't need to see this.
They don't need to see any of this.
It's crazy.
But that's the thing is, they didn't do a performance for the stadium or for TV.
Correct.
It was just all bad. And I actually do like Jack Harlow. But
they blew the budget on Dolly Parton's halftime show.
That's the worst thing that happened to Jack Harlow.
The contrast.
Dolly Parton comes out to this huge production.
Yes.
She is 77 years old.
Yep.
She's showing body.
Yes.
She's showing body. She's wearing a Dallas Cowboys cheerleader uniform. When I tell you, I stood up and saluted the TV.
Yep.
I don't even know why. It was instinctive.
I was there. Like, and then y'all had like a debate on
90.
How old she was. Yeah. You were like, she's 117.
I mean, she looks amazing, but I mean, she's...
Yeah, she's 70. She's 77.
She's 77 years
old.
That's
crazy.
She's almost an octogenarian, and she looks like that. Damn it, I love Dolly Parton.
Yeah. Do you think she sleeps?
You're going to ask this one again.
I'm just kidding. It's still funny. Yeah, no, she looked good, but I was worried during the performance because she kept having to brace herself up against the star. And I was like, God, they better have people on standby. Not to be like, you know, morbid or anything, but she was making her way from side to side.
Yeah.
And she kept having to hold on to that star. And I was like, oh, shit, she about to fall. For sure.
Well, those boots are not made for walking.
That's true.
Those boots are high.
And I'm glad that she played the hits. I'm glad that she played 9 to 5 and Jolene.
Yeah.
Those are the only Dolly Parton songs that I know.
Really?
Yeah.
That's it?
If you sang a hook, I would know it, but I couldn't think of it off the top of my head.
And
what?
You did? That's her song?
Whitney Houston.
That is her song.
Shut up.
Yeah, she let Whitney Houston have it.
Wait.
She released it in everything, boo.
Dolly Parton was the OG in that?
You didn't know that?
Damn.
Yeah. That's her
I know
song.
I'm not the only one finding that out for the first time.
And Dolly was so gracious. She was like, Whitney Houston took that song and made it a real, like, she was like, that is her song now. But Dolly Parton released it many years before Whitney Houston did.
Mm-hmm. Okay, Dolly.
Yeah.
Spreading the wealth.
You know what I mean?
Come on.
Do it then. There's one thing that flew under the radar that I want to bring some attention to.
Here we go.
Because I have a soulmate. I am married. Yep. But I also love to seek out twin flames. Twin flames in someone that I recognize myself in a petty way. And I had a twin flame alert, fire alarm, 5-star alarm go off when I saw a story that many people glossed over a month ago. Seahawks great receiver DK Metcalf.
Yeah.
This man learned sign language so that he could get away with talking to people and not get flagged in a game. Do you understand the level of petty you have to be to learn sign language so that you can get away with talking to people? That is... Bestill my heart. I feel like I found my petty king.
Damn. Like in general, talk to people or talk to people on the field?
On the field.
I'm poking a couple of holes. He just somebody at the store. Just like, I think DK Metcalf is throwing up gang at me. I don't know. Okay, but here's the thing. I'm going to poke a couple of holes in this. That's great. And I'm really happy for DK Metcalf. He eats a bunch of candy, doesn't have a regular diet, but he's got time to learn this apparently.
Yeah.
It's only effective if the recipient of the ire knows that you're mother effing them from here to kingdom come.
Yeah.
If he's just throwing up gang on him, DB's going to be like, what the hell was that?
Yeah. You're right.
If you go on Rich Eisen's show and admit to this,
yeah,
now the refs are going to spot it.
Right. Well, they're not going to know sign language.
You don't think if DK Metcalf is after a big catch is just, you know what I'm saying? They're not going to be like taunting.
Well, yeah, I think if he's throwing up gang signs, which is what you just did, that's not sign language what you just did. You just did finger stacking.
Well, I don't know what I did.
Well,
I don't know. I'm not obviously trying to disrespect the community there.
Trying to curl up so bad.
I'm not trying to appropriate or anything like that, but I'm just like, listen. Say something, Elle. I'm nervous. Hey, help.
It's okay. We get a hood pass. My sister, part of the ASL community.
I was looking for the letters.
Yeah, ASL community, yep. Which is why I recognize the petty in him.
Yes.
Because after Alabama lost to Georgia in the national championship, I distinctly remember texting her, how do you sign, because I had lost my voice.
What?
How do you sign F off Alabama in sign language? I literally asked her if she could send it to me in a video and show me.
Okay.
She did.
And where did you use this?
I used it a couple of times, maybe on Paul Feinbaum's show.
Shut up.
I was ready.
Did you ever use it on, I don't know, ESPN's flagship program?
No.
Because we can go back to those dates. Wait, so how do you do it?
I forget.
Stop. You're capping. What are you talking about? You forget.
I literally forget, which is why I know that no one on that sideline is going to know that DK Metcalf is doing it.
Yeah, true. DK Metcalf don't even know. I think that it probably looked something like F off Alabama.
Yeah. Yeah.
Dead giveaway.
That's a good one. Yeah, that's perfect, actually.
Crushed it. Crushed it.
Nailed it.
Oh, I can't do that. Can't do that. Boss has already said.
Throwback.
Oh, wait. Before we leave, because Ostrzyski always pays off his debts, I got to pay off this
first
thing.
First of all, stop comparing yourself to a Lannister. They're creepy, weird. They were the worst characters, and also incest. Go.
Well, I just thought it was a culturally significant.
Ostrzyski, you know.
Okay, here's the thing. I said that Omar, your husband, deceived me at the Thanksgiving get-together, because when me and Abby walked to the front door, I saw Omar coming through the bay window, and I was like, he sure does look like he's wearing pajamas.
Yes.
And I was in regular pants, and he opened the door. I was like, my man, Omar, have you not changed yet into your thing? And he was, dude, it's a pajama Thanksgiving.
Yeah.
So I don't really blame Omar. I blame you for not telling me.
I did tell you.
You didn't tell me.
I said it's like pajamas and karaoke.
There was no paper trail.
There wasn't a paper trail because I just told it to you through your ears. I just said it to you in real life because most of our conversations, Gary, happen with us just speaking to each other like friends.
But you have to create a paper trail, because you know it's not often that I have to dig through my real adult clothes to get the sweater, okay?
It's
or
true.
To get pants that don't stretch.
But Gary, you got to understand, I mostly see you dressed like this all the time.
Yeah.
So I just assumed you would show up dressed like you, Gary. And
not
then
on
here he comes to the door and his beautiful girlfriend is wearing a silk skirt.
Yeah, she looked great.
I mean, she looked gorgeous. They looked like they were taking Christmas pictures.
Yeah.
Like, I was like, oh no. And we were literally wearing...
Everybody was in sweats.
Sweatpants from Thailand, like fresh off the boat.
That's great.
Yeah.
Would've been awesome.
Mario even was the wrong color. Like, it was horrific. And then you guys show up and you look super extra.
I used the good cologne that night. It would have just been nice if there was like a paper trail.
Okay.
Next time.
Well, next
because
time.
Then everybody from then on, we were one of the first to arrive, and then everybody else, super producer Zach Mariner, I mean, he was in his Virginia Tech hoodie.
Yeah, everybody was
like,
wearing sweats.
This would have been nice.
It was a sweats and pajamas. Listen, the devil's in the details, and you didn't ask any. That's on you.
I just expected my friend to sort of maybe put that
provide
in the text.
You with free food and also give you the dress code?
The food was good. The food was good.
I'm just now realizing I probably should have given them the dress code. Yeah, that seems like something that falls on me.
There's always next year.